Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
We were so close and did everything together and went fishing and camping when we could. And for something like this to happen, all of a sudden it just ended. I feel like somebody just stuck their hand in your chest and ripped your heart out. It's like, why? It took this one guy to do it and totally just ruined a whole family's life.
You robbed the bank, went back home like nothing ever happened.
Especially when she's supposed to be sort of a gypsy, hippie kind of person. And those type of people should be the caring, peaceful. I mean, if you're showing that the way you are that way, why would you be withholding information from a family that's hurting when you're, you know, the hippie generation is like, well, you're caring and this and helping people out. Why would you do that to somebody?
We just want Lexi back. We want to know if she's okay. I want to know if she's eating, you know, sleeping. You know, it bothers me every day.
I can't believe all the non-help. I can't believe it. People go missing all the time. If they're over 18, you're pretty much on your own, and there you go.
Hello, and welcome to episode 55 of The Vanished. 21-year-old Lexi Stacy disappeared from Westminster, Colorado on May 31, 2015, just days after her boyfriend, Daniel Perkins, robbed a bank. Dan Perkins is considered a fugitive, while Lexi is considered a missing person. There was no trace of either Dan or Lexi until this summer, when alleged pictures of the two surfaced in an unlikely place with a price tag attached to them. What you're about to hear may be the most bizarre story that we've ever covered on this podcast. This is a case where the truth really is stranger than fiction. Did these two just take off on the run together, or have they gotten involved in a cult? Did Lexi go on her own, or is she being held against her will? This is Lexi's story.
Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500.
We all know someone who has gotten into a bad relationship, and it changed them. Everyone else around them can see it, but they seem unable to realize that they are being manipulated and controlled. They are so blinded by their love for the other person that they just don't see what's really going on. If you try to say something, that usually doesn't go well. Lexi's parents, Josh and Cindy, found themselves in this situation after their daughter, Lexi, met Dan Perkins. We spoke to many people for this episode, and by all accounts, Lexi was a great friend, daughter, and employee before she met Dan. Lexi's mom, Cindy, explained to me who Lexi was before she met him.
Oh, man, how she was before she met Dan, she was a go-getter. She had a great job at Walmart. She was up for promotion. She had Employee of the Month twice within 2.5 years that she worked for Walmart. She was my best friend. She always told everybody that she was my best friend. Before she even went to work for Walmart, she went to work with me for a year at my job with no pay, just so she could hang out with me every day. We were a very extremely close family. She was close to me and my husband, you know, her dad. They had a very close relationship. We went fishing. We did everything together.
The Lexi that everyone knew began to rapidly change after she started dating Dan.
Well, the first thing that we noticed, she was starting to be a little standoffish with us, and that was not like her at all. She was missing work a lot. She wasn't doing very well at work. She was up for that promotion. Then they decided to demote her because she kept missing work. And Dan kept showing up at her work all the time. He actually was stealing from her work, and her coworkers caught him, you know, caught him stealing, but they didn't catch him in the act. She tried to run after him to get in. He jumped in a minivan and took off. She would always tell us where she was going, where she'd be, and when she would be home, even though she was already 21. You know, she had that respect for us to let us know what was going on because she still lived in our home. Well, since she met Dan, he started getting her into these really weird clubs to where they did really strange music with these gloves that lit up and stuff, like they were seeing trails or whatever. We noticed that she got into that. She just kind of changed. You know, she wasn't herself. He got her to the point to where she quit her job at Walmart, and she had bought a car. He made her sell it so they could have money either for drugs or for a hotel room. Because she has such a big heart, she's very gullible to these people that could just completely take advantage of her. She's had relationships in the past, boyfriends that lasted a year, 6 months, you know, something to that nature. And she never changed. She was still my Lexi. But for some reason, when this guy came in her life, it just completely changed her. I mean, I don't know what he got her on. When she finally decided to move out of our home, he had stole a check from his mom, had Lexi cash it at her bank. And I had found out about it, and I told my husband. So my husband went home because he worked in the same park that we lived in. So he went home to check up on Lexi to see if everything was okay and find out what was going on about this check. And she just completely lost it. She started screaming at her dad, just shaking, just being completely uncontrollable. And like I told you before, we were a very close family. There was no yelling, screaming. We've never thanked Lexi. We've never, you know, really gotten her face for anything. We were very close, even when she was a teenager. She was a good teenager. And that's hard to say nowadays, you know, but she was a very good teenager, very respectful. So she just completely lost it, and Dan picked her up, and she had left. She got a job at Safeway over by our house, and she worked there maybe a week, and he made her quit that job. She started staying in different hotels with Dan. She would still contact us, you know, to let us know that she's doing okay, and if she needed anything, we'd give her money for another night, a hotel stay or something, took her food, you know, make sure she was eating okay.
Lexi's parents were really patient and went out of their way to include Dan in an attempt to avoid alienating their only child.
We had a birthday party for my nephew, my great nephew, and at the park, and she didn't want to show up because she knew the family was mad at Dan for what he had done. So she wasn't going to go to the birthday party unless Dan was able to go. So we told everybody in the family to be nice. So we all were. We were very nice to him when he showed up at the party with Lexi. I'd actually asked them if they wanted to come back to our house and stay with us, you know, until they got their feet on the ground or whatever they had to do. I mean, even though we did not care for Dan, we just knew it right off. I mean, the first night that he showed up at our house, he was extremely cocky, loud, obnoxious, and I just didn't like him right away. You know, I even told Lexi, I said, seriously? You know, because that's how close we were. I could tell her what was on my mind. So I did. He completely manipulated her. And then that day at the park, she had told me that they had found a home to live in, and it was one of her friends that she's known for at least 5 years. And there were a couple that my husband and I knew, so I was very comfortable with her moving in with them. So we had had my brother come over with his truck, and we moved her out to the new home in Aurora, and that's where she was staying when she went missing.
Shortly after Lexi and Dan moved in with her friends, Dan went to jail.
All I know is he went to jail probably about 2 weeks after they moved into their home with their friends, with Lexi's friends, and he kept talking to her on the phone, writing her letters, telling you do anything you can to get me out. So she kept going to bondsmen, and she did bond him out. When she did bond him out, she bonded him out. I think it was a $500 bond, and she paid like $250. I'm not sure where she got the money from to bond him out, but she got him out. And it was the day after he got out, he had to show up to court. So it was actually 2 days, I'm sorry, 2 days after he got out, he had to go to court. So on the 27th of May, he robbed the bank in Colorado. He went back home. He borrowed their roommate's car to do this. Lexi was at home with her roommates. So I don't know if Lexi knew about it or what was going on in her mind at that time. I seriously don't think she knew about it because she told me she didn't. He went to court the next day for his prior, some kind of a probation violation or something like that, because he's been on probation for quite some time, which we found out later on. And he robbed the bank, went back home like nothing ever happened. And then he went to court, like I said, the next day. He got arrested in court for the bank robbery because they got his fingerprints. He went to jail again. Lexi got him out the same night.
This sounds crazy, doesn't it? I wondered how the heck that could have happened.
I called the bail bondsman after they went missing to find out how in the heck they could even get a bond for this guy if he robbed a bank. Doesn't make any sense to me. And they told me, well, there was a paperwork mistake. It was supposed to be a $10,000 bond. And they let him out on a $1,000 bond on Lexi's signature only. It was a huge mistake, and now my daughter's missing.
2 days after Dan was released, the pair simply vanished.
So I talked to Lexi earlier that day, and everything was fine. You know, she says, Dan's upstairs sleeping. Everything's fine, Mama. I love you. You know, we're going to try to work things out and stay here. Because, again, I asked her, I said, if you guys need a place, you know, you need to come here. Because Dan was on probation again, and we were going to try to help him if we could, for her sake. Even though we didn't care for the guy. I mean, we'll do anything for our daughter, and she knows that. I guess it was the weekend, and she had her friend, her roommate Leandra, drop him off at Ross. Lexi had a small backpack with her, and she told her roommate that her and Dan were just going to go stay a couple nights at his parents' house. And that was the last anybody's heard from her.
Cindy noticed that Lexi had deactivated her Facebook account, so she sent her a text message to see if everything was okay. She got a response from Lexi's phone, but it was very vague, and Cindy didn't feel like it was written by Lexi. This is where the story goes cold, at least for some time anyway. Her friends and family were left wondering if she had left with Dan on her own, or did he force her to go with him? Did he do something to harm Lexi? The Stacys kept Lexi's phone account active for several months, hoping that one day she would call, but after months with zero activity, they closed that account. It would make sense that her phone was either destroyed or simply left behind somewhere so that it couldn't be used to track the two of them. At this point, Dan was classified as a fugitive, and Lexi's parents reported her as a missing person. Lexi also has a warrant out for her arrest because Dan had stolen a laptop from one of their roommates and had Lexi pawn it because she had identification and he didn't. If you look at pictures of Lexi, she's very identifiable. She has a lot of tattoos, including one on her chest that says family always comes first. It is amazing that these two have been able to go so long without being identified, or Dan, who we know has an extensive criminal background, how did he go so long without getting into trouble with the police? This story took a strange twist over this past summer when a woman by the name of Sheena Cox reached out to Lexi's family and also their advocate, Tina. She claimed to know where Lexi was and also said that she had pictures of her, but wanted something in return. She wanted $2,000. When I first heard this, I thought, it must be a scam.
She actually contacted our advocate first and said that she has information, but she wouldn't tell her anything until she talked to Josh or I. So our advocate gave her Josh's phone number. She contacted my husband through Facebook messaging. She offered us the pictures. We had to have pictures to have proof that she knows it was Lexi. Well, the pictures showed to us it's definitely our daughter. So after she gave us the proof that it was Lexi, she starts saying, well, Dan stole a trailer from me with appliances in it and went and pawned them for like, he got maybe $2,000. So I want my $2,000 back. So if you want any more information on where your daughter's at, you got to give me $2,000. Well, what she told us is she knows exactly where they're at. She knows who dropped them off, where they went, to the people's home that they were staying with. She says they're very nice people, so we don't want any cops involved. She refused to talk to any cops. We even told her, you know, if you want a reward, just turn Dan in. He's got a $2,000 reward through Crime Stoppers. You know, just turn him in. She goes, I don't deal with police. We do our own thing here. She's part of a what's called a sovereign community. And they don't have anything to do with police or anything like that. They take care of it themselves.
I told you this story is really a bizarre one. And the more I found out about Sheena, the more questions I had. When I spoke to Cindy, I asked her what she knew about Sheena. I had done a little research prior to our call, and I knew that she was affiliated with a group called the Astral Gypsies, and also a place in Missouri called Astral Valley, where they hold music festivals.
We really don't know a whole lot about it, you know, but we are getting some information here and there that she's a real estate agent. She has a restaurant. She has all different kinds of jobs that she does. She actually puts ads on the Astral Gypsies webpage for looking for people for help, for people to actually live in the compound, work for her. They eat together is what it says. They, you know, shower together, whatever. I mean, it's really weird.
So we have Sheena, who inserts herself into this story and claims to not only have pictures, but to know where Lexi is. If I knew where a missing person was, I wouldn't try to profit off of that knowledge. I would just want to help. This led us to question, who is Sheena and why is she doing this to Lexi's family? On one hand, she runs this place called Astral Valley, where they have huge events that many describe as hippie music festivals. And when you think of hippies, what do you think of? Peace or love? I found a description of Astral Valley online, and they talked about things like organic sustainable farming, building an organic art park, bringing in artists, performers, and musicians, among other things. Here is a quote from a webpage they have for people who are interested in living at Astral Valley. Living the dream is a lot of work, and we don't want people to get a misconception. In order to keep the property comfortable and progress toward an excellent future, daily participation is a must, and it takes a team to achieve success, as we are all in this together. If you just want to get drunk, watch TV, or play computer games all day, then Astral Valley is not for you. We work hard and play hard together, and often spend our days off hosting workshops, community events, and drum circles, hiking, camping, canoeing, caving, performing at music events across the country, building art, taking group road trips to places unknown on our magic school bus, or simply enjoying our beautiful natural surroundings. It sounds like a great place, doesn't it? But almost like a commune. So we have this one vision of Sheena creating this peaceful place known as Astral Valley. But then we have this other Sheena, the one who is trying to trade the whereabouts of Lexi for $2,000. On the other hand, she also claims to be a sovereign citizen. Well, what is a sovereign citizen? For those of you who don't know, here is a quote from the Southern Poverty Law Center. The strange subculture of the sovereign citizens movement, whose adherents hold truly bizarre, complex, anti-government beliefs, has been growing at a fast pace since the late 2000s. Sovereigns believe that they, not judges, juries, law enforcement, or elected officials, get to decide which laws to obey and which to ignore. And they don't think that they should have to pay taxes. Sovereigns are clogging up the courts with indecipherable filings and, when cornered, may often lash out in rage, frustration, and in the most extreme cases, acts of deadly violence, usually directed at government officials, end quote. The topic of sovereign citizens is one that we could really go into at length, but I think you get the idea. So Sheena is part of these two subcultures, and on top of all that, she's also a realtor. It just seems like an odd combination. Nathan did a lot of research on Sheena and her businesses, so I reached out to him to explain it a little bit better for you.
Sheena Cox, more or less, is a con person, a con woman. Most of her immediate family seemed to be involved in a variety of business schemes related to home sales, property sales, a lot of real estate dealings. But oddly enough, all their businesses are in good standing with the state of Missouri. Despite being sovereign citizens, they seem to pay the taxes. There's no back taxes on any of the businesses or any of them personally. She started out in real estate and moved into becoming a concert promoter. This place called Astral Valley that she started a couple of years ago. And the weird thing about Astral Valley is that it draws a lot of people from outside of Iron County, which is the county she lives in. Yet very little is known about it. I called the Chamber of Commerce there and, you know, nobody had heard of it. And, you know, she's kind of an enigma.
And you tried to contact her?
Yeah, I tried. I contacted her many, many, many times, called her many times, left her many messages, texted her many times, sent her a couple of emails, and nothing. Not a call back, not a response, nothing.
What is your take on Sheena in regards to this whole plot to get $2,000 out of Lexi's family?
You know, it's kind of a mystery too. On the one hand, she contacts Lexi's parents with the story about this trailer that's gone missing. She wants $2,000 for it. But, you know, there's no photos of the trailer, and she doesn't really seem all that concerned with the trailer. When you read through the exchange between her and Lexi's father, the trailer seems real secondary to why she's actually contacting them, which I don't know why she's contacting them, but the trailer really kind of seemed of kind of secondary importance. I called the police station, Farmington Police Station, Farmington being where her father lives, and Iron County Sheriff's Office, which is where she lives. And neither department had any record of a trailer being stolen. So, I mean, you would think something of that value gets stolen, you would file a police report so they could get an insurance claim on it, which clearly isn't the route that she took. So you have to ask, why would she contact the parents and ask for this money? You know, why would she insert herself into this situation? You know, she has a successful business. You know, she obviously knew Lexi and Dan were wanted. Why set yourself up for a visit by police, potentially?
Or the FBI, right?
Or the FBI, or bounty hunters, even. You know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on. But when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
You're probably wondering about these pictures of Lexi and Dan. I've spent a lot of time looking over them, and I am convinced that they are in fact pictures of Lexi and Dan. They appear to be picking up trash off the side of the road with safety vests on. Lexi's tattoos match perfectly. I've seen some speculation online that the tattoos could have been faked, but Lexi has so many tattoos that I think it would be tough to perfectly match all of them with the correct placement and proportions. Dan isn't a very distinctive-looking person, but when I enlarge the photos, his nose is also a perfect match, and also his jawline and the way his facial hair grows. Everyone's trying to figure out when these pictures could have been taken. If they were taken more recently, that would increase the chances of them still being in the Missouri area. When they went missing, Dan's hair was short, and in the photos, it's longer, about chin length. The pictures look like they were taken in late spring or early summer, so they couldn't be from 2015 since they went missing at the end of May of 2015. My best guess is that they were taken in May or June of this year. I think it probably would have taken about that amount of time for Dan's hair to grow that much. The pictures are also cropped, so it's hard to tell much else, but I do believe that Lexi and Dan were, in fact, at Astral Valley at some point over the last year. Lexi's dad, Josh, told me about a conversation that he had with Sheena that I felt was particularly cold.
She goes, "Well, I can tell you one thing. She's not in Colorado, and she's not in Missouri, so you got 48 other states to choose from. Time's ticking. You know, do you really want to find out where your daughter is? It's all in your hands now."
The Stacys have thought about paying the $2,000 to find out where Lexi is, but Sheena's stipulations make them nervous that this deal could be more than it seems.
And I was talking to different people, and they said, "Well, if you want to send her the money, you know, we'll help you come up with the money." So I talked to her, and she goes, "Well, you can send me $1,000 now, and then, but you personally have to come out. But no police, no nothing. And when you come out and you see her, then you hand me the other $1,000. And then people say, "No, you can't. You shouldn't go out by yourself because it could be a setup. You can be killed. You can, you know." She goes, "But yeah," she goes, "only you by yourself personally can come out. No police, no nothing." And people say, "No, don't do it. Don't make it kind of a deal with her."
Nathan spoke to a woman by the name of Tina, who was an advocate for Lexi's family. She told him how she became involved in Lexi's case and also about her interactions with Sheena.
"Well, what I do is I'm a private investigator out of Mississippi with Halo's Investigations. And what we do is work with missing children and some adults. And I had saw her missing poster and had done a little research on her missing and decided to contact the family. And we ended up doing a poster for them and sharing it, you know, in all 50 states. So what we do is we get the word out, you know, locally throughout all different organizations and work with different people. And then we also, with being a group of investigators, we try to help do a little bit of the searching and stuff online and stuff to see what we can find out about the disappearance of her."
"So what was it about Lexi's case that grabbed your interest?"
"Well, with Lexi, what grabbed the interest is, you know, with her tattoos and her looks, there's got to be somebody out there that's seen her or recognized her being out there. And then also with Dan Perkins missing also and being wanted for bank robbery, that was just another thing that really wanted us to get the pictures out there, hoping that somebody would be able to recognize her or him. And, you know, if we could find him, there's a possibility that we'd be able to find her since they had left together."
"And at what point, how long after she had gone missing, did you get involved?"
It was about 6 months. There was a couple of other organizations that were involved. So I contacted one of the ladies from another org, and I talked to her about it and told her I was interested in coming in on it and wanted to make sure if we could do a poster, because we didn't want to come in on somebody else and that was just their main priority. And she was happy to, you know, come in with us too. So it was, you know, really good. So that's when we started kind of, I guess you'd say, doubling up on it, trying to get her, you know, face out there more to get recognized.
Okay. And then at some point, the family is contacted by Sheena Cox. What did you learn about Sheena Cox, or what was your takeaway from that experience?
Well, actually, Sheena contacted them, but she also had contacted me. She had called me and had told me that she was wanting, she knew that there was a reward, but she was, I think, thinking that it was more for Lexi, but it was actually for Dan. Crime Stoppers was offering a reward for him. And she was trying to tell me that she had proof of where Lexi was, but she could send us pictures, but she wanted the $2,000 up front. And we told her that we weren't allowed to do that. At that time, she had also contacted Josh and Cindy and was doing the same thing with them. So we told her, I texted her, Josh and them texted her, and we told her that we needed proof that Lexi was okay. So she sent pictures over to Josh, and then Josh sent them over to me. And we looked at the pictures, and they look like Lexi. And so we went back in to talk to her to try to get her to, you know, listen, this is a child. This is, you know, somebody's child that's missing. It doesn't matter if she's an adult or a minor. The whole thing is we need to know that she's safe. She went into telling us that she didn't care about Dan, that Dan was no good, that that Lexi was okay, that they liked Lexi, but they stole a trailer. Dan had stole a trailer from them. Now, we do not know, is it what type of trailer? Is it a car trailer or a trailer, you know, one that she's calling a trailer that you could drive off the property? Mm-hmm. That he owed her dad over $2,000, and she wanted the reward money to get the money back from what they had stole from her dad, which is Clayton Cox.
What did you make of the story? I mean, did you buy it?
At first, we didn't buy it until she sent us the pictures over, which took about a week before we got the pictures over from her. And, you know, her deal was is that if we would give her the money, she would give us an address and a location to where we could go to get Lexi. Which, you know, that puts you in danger there. We tried to make it clear because, you know, if he's robbed a bank, what else could he do? We can't just go up and knock on the door to get her.
Right. And the pictures don't guarantee she even knows where she is.
Right. And we don't know a date. We don't know a date on the pictures. We don't know. I have an idea where the pictures are taken. I called Clayton Cox, the dad, and he told me the same story, that they wanted the money that Dan owed them. And that as soon as they got the money, they would give us where Lexi and Dan were, and they didn't care what happened to Dan.
Do you think she knows where Lexi is?
I think she says that she knows where Lexi is, that Lexi every 2 to 3 or 4 weeks is changed from one place to another. And she knows the man that has Lexi.
In an attempt to try to locate Lexi, Tina took a trip to Astral Valley during one of the events to see if she could find her.
And I started doing a little research on her, and I had saw where they had the Astral Valley was doing a thing on Labor Day weekend this year on Labor Day weekend. So I don't know if Josh and them told you, but I took me and a friend, and we went to Astral Valley.
Yeah. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about.
Yeah. So we decided to go. So we got there, and the main thing about going there is you have to go down a lot of long roads to where there's nothing around. But right when you go into the French village right there to where the Astral Valley is, when you go down this long road, and I mean, it is just miles, you see a lot of land and you see some mobile homes and they're all white. And I don't know if you know this, if you've seen the one picture that has Lexi outside, if you see it's like a little white house or a mobile home like type right there to the end. Right when you go up into the Astral Valley where they were having their thing that weekend, to the left there is a place that looks just like where Lexi's standing. And I do believe that that is exact right where she was at. And then you go up into Astral Valley, and then as soon as I went in there, I was stopped. The car was searched. I had to get out of the car. They looked through the trunk. They had their own security. They had their own security person there, private security, which is part of them. I guess it's part of their organization. They had their own little crew. It wasn't like the police department from the town, because there's only just a few police officers in that town. It's not got a lot of maybe two or three officers in the whole town.
How do you react to that? What was going through your mind when?
Well, first of all, I was thinking, how am I going to get out of here? Because, you know, like I said, the roads were just nothing but just driving down these two-lane little roads and one-way little roads. So I'm thinking, okay, what's fixing to happen? So I get out of the car and they search. So I go up to the front, and the first thing they ask me is, you know, who are you, and how did you hear about us? Because I wasn't one of them. They knew that I wasn't one of them as soon as I pulled up. So I told them that we had been to St. Louis. I'd done a lot of research. Told them that we had been to St. Louis and we were going to go to the Wax Museum, and a lot of stuff was closed, but they had signs up, posters up saying about the Astral Valley, because a lot of their people come from St. Louis. So they were like, oh, okay then. So then she looked at me and she said, I'm going to let y'all in $40 a piece instead of $65. Are you spending the night? She wanted to know everything. So she told us where we could go to after we paid. We went in and we drove around, because there was tents everywhere. I mean, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of tents, hammocks hanging in the woods from one tree to the other, people sleeping in them. So we went in, we drove through all the campsites, seeing if we could find her. We looked in the hammocks when we walked around, and we stayed till like almost 5:30 in the morning. We got there like at 1 o'clock that afternoon, stayed till 5:30 the next morning looking for them. But there were so many people out there. I mean, it was just, and then it got dark and there wasn't hardly light, but just from where the bands were playing, they had stages set up on one side and then another side. So when one band would play on one side, then everybody would like walk in a hurdle and go over to the next stage. And then the next stage, the band would play. And then they would have the people doing the fire and doing, you know, just all kinds. They had tents set up, food set up. So we walked around and just hung out in the area. But you could tell we stood out, because yeah, all these people just knew each other.
Tina described what the vibe of the event was like at Astral Valley.
It was all natural. Like, they had artists that were, like, to the music, artists were doing big paintings. They were selling everything there was, like, handmade. And, like, everything, you know, people were selling just all different things, from jewelry to clothing. And then, the food. And then just people, they were real joyous. I mean, it was real hippie. It was like a hippie festival.
So Sheena never knew who you were exactly.
They wouldn't know who I were, because even if they went on my Facebook page, I looked totally different when I got there. And plus, my car had Maryland tags. They didn't have Tennessee tags or Mississippi.
Okay.
So they would have never known. So when I pulled up, I had Maryland tags. I don't believe that they would know that it was me. But
so,
there were so many people out there, you know, when you're trying to walk around and search, you know, if she could have been in any area, or she could have been hidden if she was there.
Tina has tried to get help from law enforcement in Missouri, but they just haven't done much. She explained to Nathan why they seem hesitant to involve themselves with the sovereign citizen community.
Well, I mean, we talked about it, and, you know, I talked to the Farmington Police Department in Missouri, because that's where Clayton Cox's residence is. And I had asked them if they could keep a watch out, and they did say that they knew who Clayton was and they would keep an eye out in French Village also. But for some reason, these people what I hear is they don't believe in their law enforcement, so they kind of stay away from all of it. And they do all of that. They have their own, they have their own enforcements that they use instead of working with the police department or doing anything. So,
because sovereign citizens, right?
Yes. So since they do that, they don't deal with any of it. So it's one of them. If you only have two local police, you know, in your whole town, are they going to go right up into Astral Valley and start looking for her when they're not even welcome in that area? I mean, when you're outnumbered by so many and there's only two of you.
Yeah, so, they sound pretty useless. So did you go to Bellevue where Sheena lives?
Where Sheena lives is actually the way it was stated to me is when you go into the valley right there where they have their thing, there is a huge blue home right there. Okay. It's like a 2 or 3 story home. And what I hear that is where Sheena lives.
Oh, she's kind of the queen of the hill, huh?
Yes. So, but when we also, when we were coming in and paying, all of a sudden a golf cart pulls up and we look over and it's Sheena and Clayton Cox. So I knew we were at the right place because I got to see her. There was just no way to get a picture of her.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, so they pulled right up. They did not come up and approach me, but they did pull up as I was paying.
Josh has even consulted law enforcement about the idea of dealing with the sovereign community.
So when I found out there were sovereign people, I looked up what sovereign is. And I was reading through cases of people like that and deal with their own problems. Now, I've seen that some of them were arrested and put in jail. When they got out, they killed police. Are these police in Missouri, that little town, are they afraid of them? They don't want nothing to do with them. And even Westminster, Troy Gordon, here to him, he goes, yeah, they're some iffy people, you know, type of people you don't want to mess with. Me and my wife decided we've had enough. I don't care what happens. I want to expose her name. Got so many people that like her and they're good people. They say they're good people. Well, look what this good person is doing to us.
Cindy told me about a conversation that she had with Sheena that has left everyone concerned that Dan is abusing Lexi.
She does know that Dan is extremely verbally abusive to her. He's mean to her. She says behind closed doors, I think he probably is physically abusing her. But she wouldn't give us any more than that. She said they really liked, and she kind of slipped up. She goes, we really like Lucy. She called her Lucy instead of Lexi. I caught that right away, but I didn't say anything to her to let her know that I caught that. But she goes, we really did like, and then she changed her story, we really did like Lexi. You know, we'll help out Lexi. We even tried to get her to stay here with us, but Dan wouldn't have it. But she goes, but Dan had to go. She kept saying, Dan had to go, but we liked Lexi.
Tina expressed her concerns about Lexi possibly being in Missouri living in the Astral Valley area.
What, you know, concerns me is, you know, is Lexi okay? Is Dan in the picture and this is a way of them trying to take money? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or, you know, but Lexi, you know, I just can't believe she's, you know, I know he's wanted and he's probably got her no telling brainwashed to think that she's going to go to prison for life or whatever once he's ever called or whatever the deal is. Or has she just got into this lifestyle? And she's, you know, fallen into it kind of like a cult kind of like deal.
Yeah, it sounds like they keep pretty close tabs on everything. They got their own police department.
Yeah, and when you go down that wrong road where all these houses are, it's part of the land.
Yeah.
So you feel like maybe that's some of their properties that they're living at.
It's like their own little fiefdom.
Right, and the whole thing is what I tried to tell Josh and them. If Lexi wanted to run, she has nowhere to run, okay? There's no way she can get out because as soon as she leaves, if they come after her, she's not going to go through the woods because there's no end to the woods. It's over 200 and something acres, okay? If she goes down that long road, it's probably everybody in the village that lives there.
Cindy told me about her concerns regarding Lexi's involvement with the people at Astral Valley.
And that's why I'm really worried about my daughter. You know, if she got completely brainwashed by these people, or if Dan already did that before she got there. You know, he's completely controlling her, manipulated her. I know my daughter wouldn't do this to us on her own. because I knew my daughter very well. We were very close. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. And that's why this whole thing is so bizarre.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
The FBI is involved in this case because of the bank robbery. Lexi's parents have reached out to them with the information about them being in Missouri, and they just don't seem interested.
All the FBI says is Dan's not worth it. He hasn't killed anybody. It's extremely frustrating because, you know, at first the FBI was all over it. They wanted to find Dan. They weren't too concerned about Lexi. That's our main goal. We just want Lexi back. We want to know if she's okay. I want to know if she's eating, you know, sleeping. You know, it bothers me every day. That's something a mother and a father both think about all day long, every day, is if she's eating, if she's okay, you know, if she's being treated well. And the holidays are the worst, obviously. Last year about did us in. My husband ended up going to the hospital the day after Christmas. I mean, it was a nightmare. But, you know, we're trying to be stronger now. We did move away from Colorado. We now live in Arkansas. To be closer to my husband's family because his father's got stage 4 cancer. So we really like to find Lexi so she could see her grandpa before something happened.
Josh told me that when he contacted the FBI about the pictures, they initially seemed interested. The person that he spoke to said that he would call him back after speaking to his superior.
So he called me back. He goes, well, my superior said we can't do anything. You know, it's because we could put up the money, but it could be false information, and Dan isn't worth us spending that much, you know, that much money because he didn't kill anybody. So he's really not that important to go out of state for. It concerns my daughter too. He goes, well, Westminster Police Department has a missing report on your daughter. We have nothing to do with that. So I talked to Troy Gordonier with Westminster Police, and he goes, well, one thing you have to understand is she is an adult and she can do what she wants. I said, but you filed a missing person report on her. You know what's been going on since, you know, she went missing. And he just kind of smirked and laughed about it. And I said, okay. And he laughed, like his voice was laughing at me on the phone.
Whether they're still in Astral Valley or not, I wanted to know more about Dan Perkins. What is he capable of? And if he is controlling Lexi, is it mentally, physically, or possibly with drugs? Josh told me about the first time he met Dan.
The first day when she brought him over to meet us, he came in and, like my wife said, he was real cocky, he was rude. And he looked at me and gave me a weird look, and he threatened me right off the bat. Well, it was sort of a threat. He just looked at me and said, well, do you have a problem with me? And if you do, I know I'm part of an Italian gang called the Smaldones, which don't really exist anymore. I mean, it was a long time ago and they were, you know, real big. He goes, I've got a lot of friends, and if I have any problems, you know, they take care of it for me. And I looked at him and said, I don't even know where this is coming from, but, you know, I'm happy for you. I saw when he was at our house, he stayed one night, and he was on my laptop, and I didn't know it. So I opened up my laptop the next day, and I saw he was at an article or an ad on Craigslist as a male escort. And I showed Lexi that. She goes, well, I'll talk to him about it. I said, okay, I just wanted to let you know what I saw. I didn't make it up. But so the next day I asked, I said, what'd you talk to him about? And she goes, yeah, he said he was sorry. Don't worry about it. He deleted it.
I had heard that Dan was into drugs, and since it is thought that he could possibly be using drugs to control Lexi, I asked Josh if he knew more about what Dan was into.
I heard he was a really, really big in heroin, which scares me because, you know, I know you can overdose on it. If you got my daughter doing it or had her doing it, I mean, for the longest time, it was so we didn't ever hear anything. Is my daughter alive? You know, it's a hard thing to deal with. Like right now, you know, is she alive? Lexi was the only child that me and my wife could have. My wife had 5 miscarriages before we had Lexi. And it was just, you know, right now it's just like, why did he pick her?
Cindy and Josh did a little bit of research on their own to find out more information about Dan.
When we lived in Colorado, me and my wife took the day off from work, and we went up to the Adams County Courthouse. And we pulled what we could out of the court system on his record. And his record was, Dan's record was unbelievable. And that was just out of Adams County. That's not Arapahoe County. That's, I can't remember what other county, Jefferson County. It was just Adams County. And it was like 3-4 pages long. Drug abuse, you know, a stealing, theft, assault. I heard he stole a gun out of a cop's car. I mean, he's got a record.
Nathan got in touch with a woman, Tierra, who knew Dan and his family since 1995. She explained that at this point, even his mother has pretty much written him off because of all the trouble that he's gotten into. This was her take on Dan.
No, I see him more as one of those guys that always ended up in jail, and that was his life. He didn't care about anything but himself, but even then he didn't really care about himself, because if he cared about himself, he wouldn't be putting himself in situations.
Nathan also got in touch with Lexi's friend, Kayla. She had met Lexi while working alongside her at Walmart. She too saw the changes in Lexi as she became more involved with Dan. One thing that she said that I thought was telling was that she initially liked Dan and thought that he was a cool guy. He told her about how he traveled through Europe, but his stories weren't always quite believable. I get the impression that he's just one of those people that is good at the initial con to win people over or to gain their trust, but can't quite keep it going for too long. It doesn't seem to take much for people to see right through him. Kayla explained her thoughts on the situation and why she thinks Lexi would have left with Dan.
Well, I wouldn't say it affected my friendship with her as to me wanting to not have to do anything with her, because honestly, she's like a little sister to me and I still care for her. But I'm not happy with what she's done, because she literally has crushed her mom and her father. And that is not okay with me. I mean, I have a rocky relationship with my parents, and it affects me because I know, yes, I can still count on my parents, but I know I've done some stupid stuff that I really do regret for doing to them, and I am trying to make it up with them. But she was so close to her parents, like, they were like best friends. He was disrespectful to her dad, and I saw it once or twice with Dan being disrespected with Josh, and basically insulting him, calling him like an old man, he doesn't know shit. I'm like, you know, that's not a way to impress the parents. Do you want your parents to like you, not hate you?
Mm-hmm.
If you want to continue the relationship,
So yeah. His parents are a big factor in life. I really honestly, I don't understand why this all happened, why she just automatically left. Honestly, the only idea that I can think of is that he was literally drugging her and she didn't notice at all. She was just too head over heels, and that, or he, again, I don't see any kind of blackmailing, so I don't know anything, but she, every single time when I hung out with her and he ended up being there with me and her, she was always laughing and googly eye over him. I'm like, that's not you, Lexi. You need to step back and look at life.
Josh told me about how difficult this has all been, both physically and emotionally.
I ended up in the hospital because I wasn't eating. You know, I stopped eating. I stopped drinking. It's like, well, I can't eat if I can't, don't know if Lexi's eating. It makes me feel like I'm doing something wrong. I sit there and wonder, well, you know how controlling he is. Has he ever drugged up, you know, locked up in a room? Is she sleeping all the time? You know, is he, another thought in my mind, is he using her for sex trafficking? It just makes me sick to my stomach. There's just so many thoughts that go through your mind.
The general consensus that we've gotten from most people is that Lexi and Dan are most likely still together, and it is very possible that they're still in the Astral Valley area. The people affiliated with Astral Valley could be protecting them. One thing that raised a lot of questions for us is why Sheena Cox would insert herself into this mess for just $2,000. She says she doesn't deal with law enforcement because she's a sovereign citizen, but by contacting Lexi's family, that could have easily brought the FBI to her door looking for Dan, or even bounty hunters. Did she wait until after they were gone to try to get money out of her family? Did she have some other motive for contacting them and we just haven't figured it out yet? Those who knew Lexi before she disappeared seem to agree that by looking at the pictures, it appears that she has put on a fair amount of weight since the time of her disappearance. There is some speculation that she could have had a baby or could be pregnant in the pictures. It's really hard to tell because she has a safety vest on that covers her stomach area. That is something else to consider if you think you spot a couple that looks like Dan and Lexi. They could possibly have a child with them. Another thing to keep in mind, remember Cindy had mentioned that Sheena had mistakenly called Lexi Lucy? Could she be living under a different name? Also, Lexi had previously been involved with the Juggalo community. That is a whole other subculture of people who follow the musical group Insane Clown Posse. Lexi's Juggalette name was Lady Low. It is possible that she could have reached out to that community as well. Who knows, but it is something to keep in mind. I'm going to play a short clip of Lexi talking for anyone who may think they have seen Lexi, or to keep in mind in the future if you think you see someone who looks like her.
I'm going to talk about something that's been bothering me for quite a while now. All the time on the internet, all I see is people saying, you know, they're worthless, they can't do anything with their lives, you know, they give up, all this crap, you know, like, they can't find a job or something, you know, something's always up, something's always wrong, something's always not going the way they want it to, you know, and I just want to tell you right now, the reason why I have this saying tattooed on me at all times, you know, like, never give up. Stop saying you're not good enough. Stop saying you're worthless. Stop saying all these negative things about yourself. I mean, because that just makes it okay to call you, you know, worthless, a loser, and all that stupid stuff. You know, that's not true. Everybody needs to stop giving up so easily. And if you want something in your life or you want something to be proud of yourself, you know, like, you want to be proud of yourself, then make things happen. You can't just sit around and wait for good things to happen. You have to make them happen.
If you have any information on the whereabouts of Dan Perkins, you can contact Crime Stoppers at 720-913-7867. There is a $2,000 reward for Dan. If you have information about Lexi's disappearance, please contact the Westminster Police at 303-582-2400. You can also follow the Facebook page that her parents run called Help Find Lexi and Stacy for future updates on the case. That page is also a great resource for pictures. I urge you to go take a look at both Lexi and Dan, and specifically to take note of Lexi's tattoos. That brings us to the end of episode 55. I would like to thank everyone who spoke with us for the show, and also all of you for listening. If you would like to reach me, I have a Facebook page and a private discussion group. I am on Twitter at The Vanish Pod. If you like the show and you would like to do something to help us out, please leave us a nice review on iTunes or anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you would like, you can contribute on Patreon for as little as $1. That is patreon.com/thevanishpodcast. I have been sending everyone who contributes thank you notes and stickers, and I have also been doing monthly drawings for show merchandise over there. A big thanks to everyone who has been supporting the show over the past 10 months. I truly appreciate it. So with that, we will catch up with you next week.
She doesn't want to come home. She doesn't have to come home. I mean, she is old enough. She is an adult. But just a phone call or to hear a voice saying, I'm okay. You can stop what you're doing. You know, I want to go on with my own life. It's something. Let me know you're alive. Even though I got pictures doesn't mean anything. I mean, they could, you know, people say, well, you got pictures of her. You know she's alive. She's well. I was like, that doesn't tell me nothing.
Like, I will admit, I had a breakdown to where I dropped everything, and I left Colorado for about a couple months, and because I was depressed about my life, and then I met Lexi after my whole breakdown. She made me like life again. She made me encourageable, and she didn't judge me for my past, and for her to do this to her mom and dad really does shock me, and it's definitely not her character.
We'll do anything for our daughter, and she knows that.
I'm going to sing I'm All Right. Well, it's been a long time, glad to see your face. I knew we'd meet together another time, another place. Better leave, it's been so many years. You better grab a chair and a couple of beers. Looking good in your three-piece suit, you know, I always knew you'd take the bigness route. You're always the one to follow, and you look like you're doing all right, yeah. Been singing for my rent and singing my supper of above and below and below the upper. I'm stuck in the middle where money gets, but I guess I'm doing all right. I'm all right. It's a beautiful day and not a cloud in sight, so I guess I'm doing all right. I'm all right. Got a good home friend here with me tonight, and I guess I'm doing all right. We had a lot of dreams when we were younger. We thought we were crazy, but we had the hunger. We skipped a lot of friends and skipped a lot of class, been on top of the world and knocked on our ass. Love says we lost in love. We lost our minds when things got tough. But beating times is a losing fight, so I guess I'm doing alright. Oh, I'm alright. It's a beautiful day and not a cloud in sight, so I guess I'm doing alright. I'm alright. Got a good old friend here with me tonight, and I guess I'm doing alright. Well, I guess I'm doing alright, alright. Well, I hate to see this evening, and God only knows when I'll see you again. Just send a fax or send me a letter, or give me a call, that wouldn't be better.
Give the kids a kiss for me and say hello to the family. And tell them I'm my future looking bright and I'm missing, but I'm doing all right. I said I'm missing, but I'm doing all right. Oh, I'm all right. It's a beautiful day, not a cloud in sight, so I guess I'm doing all right. I'm all right. Got a good old friend here with me tonight, and I guess I'm doing all right. I guess I'm doing all right. Guess I'm doing all right. Thanks, everyone.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.